Bless you for coming this morning. I'm sorry that we had some technical difficulties, nothing like what we had late yesterday, actually, but I kind of rearranged the furniture a little bit up here on the choir, and so things are a little different on this side, obviously, but we'll get that corrected, so don't get discouraged, and we may just do those songs next Sunday. Yeah. Give us another week to practice and hopefully get these sound system problems corrected. I'd like to share with you this morning a message. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to call our attention back to Genesis chapter 1 and that little section of Genesis chapter 3. And I'd like for us to consider the question, why am I here? Now, I'm not asking why am I here in Alturas or why am I here at church this morning, but why am I here on the earth? I don't know whether you've ever asked that question, but I think that most of us, if not all of us, have asked that question at one time or another. Now, going back to our childhood, probably when we were about 5 years old, we asked the question, where did I come from? A little five-year-old asked his mother that one day, and she started in that dreaded birds and the bees talk. And then he stopped her, and he said, no, I just want to know what state I was born in. So there's a time for that. But there's also a time for asking that question, why am I here? And that usually comes maybe about 10 years later, when you're about maybe 15. You ask that question, or if you're not there yet, you're probably going to ask that question, why am I here? Now, God's Word gives us the answer to those questions and many other questions. I believe that's why God gave us the book of Genesis, to answer that question, why am I here? And that's the question that I want us to consider this morning. We have that deep craving in our hearts for answers to that question, why am I here? If you feel like, you have that Modoc-itis that I spoke of last week, and you wonder, what's the purpose of it all? What's the purpose of my life? Well, the book of Genesis wants to tell us what that purpose is. And I trust that all of you have a copy of the bulletin, and inside that bulletin there's a... Or actually, on the back of that bulletin, there's a little place where you can take notes if you'd like to do that. But we're going to look this morning at answers to that question, why am I here? There are three answers to this primordial question. Perhaps the oldest question. In addition to that question, where did I come from? That has ever been asked among humankind. Why am I here? Well, first of all, I want to suggest that we are here for kinship. We are here for kinship. If you remember in that first chapter there, the verse 27 says that in the image of God, He created them. That is, He created Adam and Eve. Now, if you ask me that are Adam and Eve literal people, or did they actually live? I believe they did. I believe that they are the first of our race. I don't happen to have enough faith to believe in evolution. Now, I know some of you may believe in evolution. I don't want to offend you. But I take God's word as it stands. Amen. To me, it's as easy to believe that God created this universe out of nothing as it is to believe that this universe evolved over eons of time and that we kind of rose up from the slime. I know it seems like some are going back to it. But I think that's the whole point. We're devolving, not evolving. I think if you'll study history, and not revisionist history, but true history, you'll find that that's true. And the Bible says that that's the way it's going to be. It says that before Jesus returns again, there's not going to be faith on this earth. Jesus said it would be like the time before Noah, before the flood, when the wickedness was so great on the earth that God looked down and all he saw was every imagination of the hearts of people was wicked continually. But getting back to the scripture here, why did God create us? Well, he created us for kinship. I believe we're closer to God than the angels. Now, true, they're in the presence of God now. But nowhere in the Bible does it say that God created them in his own image. That kinship involves a family. You've heard that saying that a family is defined by that group of people that has to accept you, that has to love you. Now, they may not really love you, in the sense, or they may not like you, let's say, but they have to love you. Well, God wanted this kinship of family. He wanted to know that we are loved. The Bible says that he loves us with an everlasting love. And he is our Heavenly Father, and he wants us to be his children and to walk with him in a familial relationship. Now, the sad thing is, in families today, there's not much love. It seems like you find a family where there's unconditional love. It's almost exceptional. But God created this relationship, created Adam and Eve and us, their descendants, to have a family. He wanted to have a family. And so we have this kinship of family. We also have a kinship of faith. People who come to God through faith in His Son have a special kinship with Him. John 1:12 speaks of that. It says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God." Isn't that wonderful that God wants us to be not only his creatures, but he wants us to be his sons. I know some of you love dogs. And we probably have some of you that love dogs, but you hate cats. But probably, if you love cats, you hate dogs. But and you love that cat so much that it's like a part of your family. But you know that that's not really your family. Now, they may act like your family sometimes. Sometimes they give you more affection than people in your own family. But they're not like you. They're not in your image. Well, God wanted someone in His own image. And so He created us. And that kinship is also a kinship of following. When we were small children, we followed our parents around like little lambs following its mother. Well, Jesus, many times, in fact, I counted 18 times in the Gospels, he commanded, "Follow me." He wants us to follow him. He wants us to be as close to him as a brother. In fact, the Bible says he is our older brother. I had an older brother. In fact, I still have an older brother, but he's way across the world in a different place, so I don't see him very much. I talk to him. We send emails and even instant messages. But when I think of that brotherly relationship that I have with Christ, I think of that brother. He wants to be that brother that's right there with us, that walks side by side with us, that helps us through the difficult decisions and the problems of life. Again, we're here for kinship. But we're also here for stewardship. Did you notice here where it says that after God created Adam and Eve, He said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Now that, you know what a steward is. A steward is someone who has trust of another person's property. And God has created us to be His stewards here on earth. Now that's an awesome thought, isn't it? That we are here for to take care of what God has created. You know, this idea that the lion is the king of the forest. Well, that's not in the Bible, of course. Now, the lion is a mighty creature that God has created, but he's not the king. We're to rule. Humankind. We're made in His image. And I agree with some of our... I agree with much of what our environmentalists say, but... And I'm afraid that some of it is that some of the teaching that comes from extreme environmentalism and certainly evolution is that we're a blight on the earth. Why, you'd think that if we got rid of people, this earth would go back to being a paradise. And, you know, I have to admit there might be some truth to that. But no, God created people. He wanted us to multiply. It involves multiplication. He said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth and subdue it. Yeah, there's this teaching that that the earth is overpopulated. Well, you know, I think that people who believe that have never been in... Modoc. Hey, there you go. I was going to say a more desolate place, but I couldn't think of one. I did hear that Modoc is the most rural county in California. It's pretty rural, isn't it? Well, you know, we could stand a few more people up here, obviously. But I know there are some very crowded places. We came from L.A. You know, and I used to say, L.A. would be a wonderful place to live if there weren't so many people. But that's why God... put us here. He wants us to be fruitful and multiply. But not only physically, He wants us to be fruitful and multiply spiritually. He wants us to bring others to know Christ as Savior. And so that command, I believe, is not only to be taken in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. You say, well, where does family planning come in? Well, now, I think it's a touchy issue. Let me put it that way. But I think that that it's wonderful to have a family. My wife came from a family of seven. I came of seven children. I came from a family of four, and I know those are small families compared to some of you probably. But that's a wonderful thing to have a family. God wants us to multiply. That's a command of stewardship. It also, that stewardship also involves subjugation. Did you notice here that it says that we're to rule over the fish of the sea? You fishermen love that, don't you?
Amen.
And the birds of the air, you hunters.
Amen.
And every living creature that moves on the ground. Again, God has created us to be the ruler of His creation. And it also involves conservation, obviously. And I think of what Jesus did. When He fed the 5,000. Now that food came from, it came from nowhere, didn't it? It was creation ex nihilo, which means creation out of nothing. He didn't go back in the kitchen and whip something up and, like that loaf of bread that has yeast put in, maybe too much, it expands. Well, that's not what happened. But yet after the 5,000 had eaten, He instructed His disciples to go and pick up the pieces that were left over. God has put us here to be conservators also of His creation. Revelation 11:18 speaks of a time that God is going to destroy those who destroy the earth. But also that question can be answered by the answer, we are here for fellowship. We are here for fellowship. And that fellowship involves walking. This song, In the Garden? It would be a very beautiful song. The phrase from that song says, He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me I am His own. And isn't that wonderful that God isn't like that God of the philosopher Spinoza who said that God created the universe but He just created it like a watchmaker. After it was created, He stood back. And He was no longer involved with that creation. No, that's not what the Bible says. In fact, that's why Jesus came. He came to be our Emmanuel, which means God with us. And He came to be with us, not only in our good times, but in our bad times, in our hard times. He wants to share His life with us. He wants us to know Him as not only as our Lord and Savior, which He is, and our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords, but as our older brother. He has created us for fellowship. That fellowship involves walking. I think God missed His walk with Adam and in Genesis chapter 3, we read portions of that. But I want to encourage you to go back and read Genesis 1 through 3. You can do that later. Sometime today or this week at least. And I believe you will agree that when God called out, "Where are you?" And Adam answered, "I heard you in the garden and I was afraid." But it was in the cool of the day, the Bible said. And Adam heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden. Incidentally, I believe this was Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says that through Him all things were created. We have many glimpses of Him in the Old Testament even. Now, God doesn't have legs and He doesn't have hands and a body like we have. He is a spirit, the Bible said. Jesus said that. But Jesus came to walk among us, didn't He? And He is the God-man. He is the one who united in his being both humanity and deity. And so he is the one that brought us together, brought us to know what God is like. And he wants us to fellowship with him. He wants us to walk with him. He walks with me and talks with me and tells me, "I am his own," this hymn writer wrote. Last June, my wife, Marlene, and me celebrated 25 years of marriage. I was going to say wedded bliss. It's not always bliss. Sometimes it's blisters. She almost kicked me last night because of something I said, which I deserved. But it's wonderful to walk hand in hand with someone through this life. But here is one who will walk hand in hand with us, not only through life, but through eternity. He wants to walk with us. It also involves seeking that fellowship relationship. Now maybe you've had an experience like this where you've offended someone and you don't even know why, perhaps. Or someone has done something to offend you. And it has hindered that fellowship that you want to have with that person. The little epistle of 1 John has a lot to say about that. When it comes to our relationship with Jesus, it says there that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another. He wants us to have that fellowship with him. Now, there may be someone here this morning, and we have many visitors. Thank you for coming this morning. Or some that are new to me, at least. But I want to encourage you to look into your heart. Do you know Jesus? Because he is seeking you. If you have never come to put your trust in him and receive him as your personal Lord and Savior, please do so today. Don't put that off. He's seeking you. But that fellowship also involves calling. Here in the third chapter of Genesis, it describes the Lord God walking in the garden, and as he walks, he calls, "Where are you? Adam, where are you?" When I was, when we lived back in Illinois, and our children were small, we lived in a river valley. And in that valley nearby our home, there was a woods. And our boys used to love to go and play in those woods. And many times I'd have to go looking for them. Of course, I was worried. It was near a big city in Chicago. And, you know, I thought about all the bad things that could possibly happen. I mean, we didn't have mountain lions, thank the Lord, like we do here, and didn't have bear. I don't know whether we have those, but do we? Wouldn't surprise me. But, you know, wild people, maybe not wild animals, but we had some pretty wild people there, even back in Illinois. But anyway, I would, I'd usually wait a little while. And then if we didn't hear from them by late afternoon, I went looking. I would call their name one after the other, Jonathan, Josiah, I don't think James was big enough then to go with him. We'll go with his big brothers. But I would call out. And that's what God did here. He went seeking after the one that was lost. And Jesus told a parable about that. He said that a shepherd had 99 sheep when he should have had 100. And he wasn't satisfied with the 99, so he went looking for the one that was lost. Why am I here? You may be asking that question this morning, and if so, I would encourage you to know from the Word of God that you are here because God loves you. And God wanted to have kinship with you and fellowship with you. He wanted you to be a steward of what He had entrusted to you. Would you commit your life to Him? Would you seek to honor Him in that life that He has created in His image?